absolutely wild as Vern Gagne's all-star wrestling goes coast to coast and continent to continent. The greatest wrestlers in the world.
He may be an apprentice carpenter, but I guarantee you he is a seasoned ring veteran.
I've been hit with bar stools, bar rags, bar maids.
I'm talking to you.
They're scared that Hulkamania's still running wild.
Oh, yeah. I got a big fat wife and 9 kids at home, and I gotta feed them.
And take a look at Jesse the Body in real life.
Open your hand once if you would.
You want to see it?
This is absolutely unbelievable. Totally, completely out of control. He's coming in over the top. Hey! Look out!
That's right. Hey, look out. But you don't have to worry about me. My name's Chris Tubbs. Welcome in to AWA Unleashed. We are the number one podcast dedicated to telling the stories and reliving the memories of what we consider to be the best territory in the history of the professional wrestling business, the American Wrestling Association. I like to say preeminent. That's the word that we like to use. When I say, hey, look out, yeah, it's for these guys. Hey, look out, there's Slick Mick. Hey, look out, there's Polish Joe. I can't do it, but welcome in, guys.
You know, I was listening to that open, which I love, and again, one of the greatest opens of any wrestling podcast ever. But there's a comment, he's coming in over the top. I know that that could not have been one of us, because we would have been sliding in under the lower rope strand. We would not have been coming in over the top of anything.
I think you're giving us too much credit for even sliding in under the bottom rope at this point, man.
I would have lumbered and rolled and gotten stuck between the mat and the bottom rope.
Oh, I guarantee you, I'd be tripping.
Yeah.
Bob Ryan, there we go.
What would happen if we were to take part in some sort of battle royal? Who would be eliminated in the most absurd way?
Well,
You're the tallest, Joe. You'd be the toughest to eliminate.
Yeah. Joe would be tough to eliminate. I would be, I would probably win because I would never get into the ring. So I would not have officially been eliminated. I couldn't climb in there. So does that count? It's like a Curtis Axel kind of situation.
Hey, by the way, Joe Hennig, you still got your main event for a WrestleMania sometime. He should main event WrestleMania 41, hopefully.
You better believe it. You better believe it. The man was never eliminated.
Never eliminated.
No.
Never eliminated. Well, we have never been eliminated. Some people would like us to be eliminated, but we are not. But here we are. It's a fun show here, guys. We are, how do I say this nicely? We're going to look at some of Mick's picks. So,
not those.
I don't know what's there. But when I get a random email saying, hey, I want you to look at my picks, I'm a little nervous, but hopefully this is going to be PG.
Well, can I say I don't want to touch Mick's pick?
I was going to set up an OnlyFans page, but then I figured it would be only fan page. Yeah. So it probably wouldn't.
Well, and it would cost you money to pay for it every month, Mick.
The upkeep would be more than you'd get in subscribers, let's be honest.
Well, I appreciate, you think there's an upkeep, but that's...
that's down, low, upkeep, different.
Upkeep, very difficult to keep up. Anyway.
Yeah. This
we got blue pills for that now.
This is going to be a fun... Yep, this is going to be a fun one, guys. Do want to tell you as well, hey, for those that have signed up to be members of our Patreon... For the pinfall and the pinfall and the body slam, I'm gonna show this to you. Thank you guys for those that have actually signed up. The memberships continue to grow. Here it is. We've got. We got so much going on that my days are kind of getting messed up here. But we do have the pinfall level that's coming up. $4.99, you get access to the podcast a day early. You get our exclusive monthly video watch along, which is going to drop at the end of this month. You get our monthly live chat and personalized thank you letter with a magnet and a sticker. Now, have we decided, are we doing anything because of the Easter weekend? I know that we've got Easter coming up this weekend. Are we doing a live chat? Are we doing a live stream? Are we just going to say, hey, it's Easter because people want to be with their families?
You're the boss. You sign the checks.
I don't remember. I got to check. I think we're going to do a live stream for the members. I think we're going to do that on Easter night. At 7 o'clock. So be looking for an email link from Joe. You'll end up getting that. If you still want to get in, we've got a link underneath in the description of the video. Go ahead and just click on that, and we'll get you all hooked up. We got our watch along. That's also going to be dropping at the end of the month. So we've got some cool things. We're not going to have an episode next week because of Easter. But again, Sunday night, the 31st, 7 o'clock Central, we're going to have our live stream, and then we're also going to have our watch along that's going to drop as well. And by the way, the new member, Glenn Anderson, shoot me your email address and your mailing address, your physical address, to awaunleashedpodcast@gmail.com. Did I get everything there, guys? I think
you always do.
Make sure that we got all of our stuff.
You always do. You're the guy.
Well, I have to promote it. And I know that it takes time, and I know that people don't like it, but I feel like we need to say it because otherwise it's never going to grow like we want it to. So got to put it out there. If you have, thank you. If you have not, for $5 a month, you can feed your favorite wrestling announcer or your favorite wrestling producer.
What's it? Why do you always say the word feed when you look at my triple chin? And
triple cheeseburger, triple chin. I'm making the connection, Mick. Okay. I'm trying to do you a solid milkshake. Okay.
A salad or a solid?
What's a salad? Are you kidding me? All right. Are we going to do a show for the three remaining viewers?
Yes, we are. And once we start showing your pick, then we're going to get down to two. But here we go. All right, Mick, I'm gonna let you take it away. Or do we start this thing? See, I'm all out of sorts right now, guys. We're in a holiday coming up. So, are we gonna like show you the pictures and then you kind of tell us, or is Joe gonna record, or how are we doing this?
It, just like we always do, we'll win and see if we can get it right. We'll try. We want to set it up for everybody. Basically, what we're doing, we're just looking at some pictures, various pictures from the AWA over the years, kind of helter-skelter, and we will tell a little story about them. This isn't exactly, it's not a topic show or specific to a wrestler, but we got some good pictures and good memories that we will share with you. Let's do it.
All right, well, let's go to picture number one here, Mick. And let me see here. You know what? No, number one isn't even there right now. Hold on. I had everything lined up.
That's as much of a drum roll as I got.
Yeah. You can keep giving me the drum roll here, Joe. I can't do without a drum roll. Keep going. There you go. All right, here we go.
There. Well, it was worth that. It was worth the wait.
This is pretty cool. I liked it because it's just so candid, and I wouldn't have expected this.
This is great. And Joe, you attended many of the Kenny J histiocytosis fundraisers, as did Mad Dog Vachon and Dr. X. And Dr. X would always wear a T-shirt or a sweatshirt to the event, and he would have all the boys sign it. He was as much a fan of the boys and his comrades as anybody. So that's Mad Dog Vachon signing his name on the back of Dr. X's sweatshirt, and how great is that?
Mad Dog putting his paw print on the back.
I like that.
You know what I love about the picture? You think Mad Dog in that photo, can you get that photo back up, Chris? Hopefully it's not a 20-second drum roll again. But
yeah, enjoy your 20 seconds.
You think Mad Dog colored his Beard and mustache?
What are you suggesting? Are you saying that perhaps even his beard and mustache is a work? I mean, come on. It's Mad Dog. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm guessing Mad Dog was probably 17, 18 years old. So he probably, you know, probably just came in that dark.
I mean, it's the Sharpie. He's got a Sharpie. How do we not put that together?
There, you know, Chris, again, that's why you make the big bucks. You nailed it. There we go. But I love that picture, and those events were so much fun.
And Dr. X would always auction off the shirt for the Histiocytosis Foundation. I really missed that event. It was an unofficial annual AWA reunion.
And the guys came in at their own dime, their own expense. Even Dr. X every year from Buffalo, New York, Mad Dog from Omaha. They came in and did it for Kenny J. So great memories. Wonderful.
Great pick, Mick.
And it's nice to see that even back then, they're fans. Because it's sometimes like, well, you can't be a fan. Don't take the picture. Take the pictures. You say, enjoy being a fan, because that's what it's all about. If you're in the business, obviously you're a fan. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten into the business.
That's exactly right. Well said, Chris.
All right, let's get into number two here. This one did actually, I like this one. Like, this is an awesome picture, but kind of show me, is that Vern?
That is the elder statesman Vern Gagne on the left with his three daughters, and then his wife Mary along with Greg on the right. And I'm going to guess that this picture is probably late 1950s, I would guess. But I think that's just kind of interesting, the way this picture was set up. That, of course, is at the old Gagne Mansion out in Excelsior, Minnesota, on Lake Minnetonka. Vern's daughters, Kathy, Beth, and Donna. And, of course, Greg with his mom on the other side. And I'm sure somebody's going to make some snide comment about that. But I just love this picture. And Joe, you said you were going to share it with Greg, and I know he'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I asked you earlier, wanted to get permission to share that, and I did send it to him already. And he just replied back, wow, where did you get that? Fantastic photo. Donna is on the left. Kathy is in the middle. And Beth is on the right in Vern's lap. And then Mary and Greg on the right.
Wow. And Greg actually weighed 218 pounds.
He had to slim down when he started working, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you take a look at the furniture. Yeah, that's definitely late 1950s.
That's a huge couch. Why is there such a gap in the middle? It's like you got...
Vern could afford to buy a big couch for a big house.
That's bigger than any of the furniture I've got now.
There you go.
And I'm not even lying. That is a huge couch, but that's pretty cool. Let me go to number three here, guys. And walk me through. Now, it looks like...
That looks like Adrian?
I was going to say, it looks like Mike Rotundo, but it's not Mike Rotundo. Is that Adrian?
That is Adrian Adonis when he was still using his given name, Keith Frank. And I'm guessing that's probably in the Florida territory. I don't know the exact year on it, but look at that. I don't know what Adrian weighed there. Certainly he wasn't even near what he was when he came to the AWA the first time. But what a picture of the late Adrian Adonis. Yeah, folks, at one time he was half the man he wound up being at the end of his career, literally.
That had to be, I'm going to say, early to mid-70s?
I would say mid-70s is probably a really good guess, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, by the time he got here to the AWA, the way I've always said it, he had the pre-New York Adrian Adonis, you know, where he really ballooned up. But you could see it in, the East-West Connection interviews that Adrian was pudgy, shall we say, starting to.
Love that picture. And I would agree. Yeah, definitely mid-70s, the late Adrian Adonis.
Fantastic. What do we got next?
Let's see what we've got here. Number five. Let's see if I can bring that.
I think we're on number four, actually.
I wanted to go to five, but okay. I guess according to your math, four comes before five.
There
one,
you
two,
go.
One, two, three, five. Okay. What are we seeing here, guys?
What we are seeing here, Joe, you go ahead.
I just got one word to say. Bulinski.
There it is. That is before he made made it to the AWA area. The late Frank Shields, Bo Bulinski, who also wrestled as the Boston Wrecker, and I believe he might have been Bruiser Frank Shields at one point. But that was before that great trucker strike. when Bull got put out of business and came into the AWA area. But look at that. He actually cleaned up pretty nicely. And I would say this picture then, has to go back probably mid to late 1960s before he came into the AWA.
Oh, yeah. I would go early to mid 60s because didn't he first get here late, like 69? Or was it?
I believe it was right around then. But Joe, I had to put this up there because, this is your favorite wrestler of all time.
No.
I know you always went for the guys with the technical skills. And so certainly Bo Bulinski, no Lou Thesz, but he was a close second.
I have to admit. Well, first of all, no, he was not my favorite. But having said that, when you've got Bulinski, mm-hmm. and growing up as a Pole, and actually I still am, I enjoyed the character. But you're right. His in-ring skills put him somewhere between, as we used to call him, a jobber and an opening card guy. But hey, he did end up main eventing, I believe.
Sure did. Oh,
a couple of
sure.
times.
Yeah, he did. He teamed
was that because Hunter. Of the gimmick? Was it the gimmick that got him the main event spot?
It was the rub from the Crusher. And it was a timing situation, Chris. He literally came in during a major trucker strike. They gave him the
I remember you guys hearing that. Did Vern just decide that, hey, this is the character you want to use to try and make you, relatable or to make you...
I think that's it perfectly. He was every man. I mean, he was the working class guy, as was Crusher. He worked well. And I mentioned before, Bulinski's career kind of plummeted after a TV match with Nick Bockwinkel. Nick put Bull in his place. And from that point on, it was kind of relegated to opening matches and mid-card.
Well, what happened there?
It was just a situation. They did an angle with Nick and Bulinski on TV. Nick injured Bulinski. They had a follow-up match that did not draw very well.
Was it legit or was it working injury?
It was a working injury.
Okay.
It was a storyline and probably one of the first to establish Nick in the AWA territory. I think when they wrestled, they drew about 2,000-3,000 at the Minneapolis Auditorium. And that was not very good back in the day. And I asked Nick about the crowd, and he said, be honest, nobody thought Bulinski was going to handle my case, which was his way of saying nobody's buying this. Mm-hmm. So, that was it for the Bowl.
You're on opposite ends of the ability spectrum with all due respect to Bulinski. He was no Nick Bockwinkel. But then again, not many were.
No, exactly. All right.
All right. Let's get to...
Now you can go to five, Chris.
Now I can go to five. Yay. See, that's my Minnesota public education. One, two, three, five, four.
I love this shot. This is when Bruiser Brody came into the AWA territory. And this may have been, I don't know if this was a singles match against Jim Brunzel. They also had a handicap match where Brody wrestled Tony Atlas and Jim Brunzel at the same time. The referee is Eddie Charkey. I don't know if Frank was a little stiff on this kick or if it's just the camera angle, but what a shot of Jim catching that five, that size 15 right across the side of the head.
See, I think Brunzy was just interested in Frank's boots, and Brody was just saying, hey, you want to, here, take a look at them. If you like them, here's what they look like.
Oh, yeah, Frank was always kind of a benevolent guy.
I was going to say he was, you know, going to be Barber Brody because he was working on Brunzy's hair.
Wow. Either way, I love that shot. And, it was, yeah. And again, look at that Sherman Tank referee, Eddie Sharkey, over there in the corner, too. Great picture, mid-1980s AWA.
I wonder if Brunzel enjoyed that shot as much as you did.
Probably didn't remember it.
Well, we go from one killer bee to the other killer bee. Who's getting their ass kicked more, Jim Brunzel or Greg Gagne?
From this photo, I would say that Greg, I think decapitation is probably worse than a boot print on your head. So I would say that Greg probably is getting the worst of it. This is from Japan, and this is Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody against the High Flyers. And Greg talked to us about that the last time we saw him at an MAW show. This, I think, says it all. You talk about stiff, and I would only suggest that the caption to this picture from Hansen and Brody might be, here, take this message to your old man. But, you know, that's just me. But what a shot. That double-team clothesline action, and Greg remembers it to this day, and it was 40 years ago.
You know, Stan has always taken the shot of not being able to see so well, which was part of why he was so stiff in the ring. But I got to give him credit here that he actually hit Greg with the clothesline and not the back of Brody's head. So I don't think he was as blind as he was making out to be.
Well, and he was in the ring with Greg Gagne. He was in the ring with a Gagne, and I think perhaps the Hansen radar was kicking in at that point and zoomed right in on Greg's jaw.
And that would have been pre-running over the belt.
Yes, absolutely.
So here's kind of a question to kind of follow up on that. Because of Greg's position, did you ever get the sense that guys maybe treated him differently? Were they a little easier on him, or did they go a little stiffer on him? Did he ever say, because of who he was being the boss's son?
My inclination, Chris, would be they did not go easier on him. I think they respected him, and they knew if they really took, too many liberties, it might come back to haunt him. But Greg sold, and he took a beating. I mean, Hansen, Brody, Coquina, Maximus, Greg was a tough kid. And I don't think that Greg would have said, go easy on me. I know what your take is, Joe.
We've brought it up before about Greg's ability in the ring. For any doubters, don't. Greg Gagne could work a wrestling match. He could work in the ring with whomever was put with him. You ask the likes, well, you can't anymore, but of a Nick Bockwinkel and the Ray Stevens of the world, and it was like a night off.
Yep.
Greg Gagne could work. Greg Gagne could sell. I can't imagine for the life of me Greg at any time saying, hey, go easy on me. Now, he may have had an injury and said, hey, you know, stay away from the knee. I mean, that's just respect. But Greg Gagne was a fantastic worker, all-around worker in the ring.
Think back on it. Did you ever see Jerry Blackwell go light on Greg? Never. I mean, he splashed him. Greg was a tough kid, and I'm sure Vern trained him that way. If anybody ever really wanted to challenge Greg, they would be in for a surprise.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious if anybody looked at him as the boss's son. It's like, well, I've got a problem with Vern, so I can take it out on Greg, or I'm going to go a little easier on him because he's the boss's son. But if he was just one of the boys, then that's great. You know, I mean, sometimes people want to, hey, I can't get to Vern, so I'm going to take it out. You know, I mean, maybe that's a question for Greg down the road.
Yeah, but you know, and you may be right. Maybe some guys, yeah. But I don't think anybody outwardly made it clear that they were going after, they were doing headhunting.
Okay.
Can I share a quick Greg Gagne story?
Yes.
So Early on, it was during an interview day. When I say early on, probably, I would say 86-ish. So I was at the AWA for a year or so. And I was running audio for the interview day that day. And we're on a break, and Greg came in, and I don't remember how we got to talking about the Ganya sleeper, but we did. So I was asking questions, and Greg said, well, it's actually a tactic that's used by the police force. And what they did, the Ganya sleeper is supposed to, you know, cut off the carotid artery and block the flow of blood to your brain. So Greg, for whatever reason, decided to put me in the sleeper hold. Now, I think it was a little different than what they did in the ring, but he legitimately knocked me out. I woke up. I had my face down on the, we had a 32 channel audio mixer there. I woke up to Greg slapping me. He had my hair back and he was slapping me like, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. I woke up and I looked at him and I just said, hey, what did I miss? When's the second fall?
Oh God, I love it.
So not only did I get chopped by Wahoo, but I got put to sleep by the Ganya sleeper. Damn, I was 0 for 2 in my professional wrestling career.
Well, and later on at the Croatian Hall, you had several people slap you to wake you up. So, you know, it was kind of a learning experience for you with Greg.
I've been there. I've only heard good things about that place.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to number 7 here, guys. And WDGY. I don't know what I'm looking at. So
bottom kind photo.
Of fill me in here.
Yeah, WDGY was one of the two big AM teeny bopper stations in the Twin Cities in the mid-1960s. And on the lower right, Gene Leader was one of the disc jockeys, the WDGY All-Americans, as they call them. And that, of course, is Mean Gene Okerlund. That's how he got his start in the Twin Cities media, at least as a radio disc jockey. Gene Leader, and I believe Gene kind of, if I remember correctly, he had an afternoon shift where he was kind of catering to the housewives. Imagine that. But that is,
Gene knew his demographic.
Oh, didn't he? I would guess that to be about 1967, 1966, somewhere in there. But the Mean Gene Okerlund, Gene Leader, WDGY Radio.
Look at that. Gene Leader, Happy Housewives. From noon to 3.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yep. And it never changed with Gene. Never.
Well, his hairline changed a little.
Well, yeah, but he kept those housewives happy for a lot of years.
still catering to the housewives, huh?
Yeah, that's correct.
Good for Gene. Okay, let's move from Mean Gene to some of the action that went on inside the ring. Tell me, what are we looking at here other than a really good card? Sans Bobulinski.
Bobulinski. This is an example. You know, a lot of times I've made reference to kind of a working relationship with Dick DeBruiser in Indiana and Bob Luce in Chicago. If you look at this card, this is in Peoria, Illinois, and you've got the AWA main event and Dusty Rhodes against Bobulinski. But then when you go into Billy Red Cloud against Dillinger and Angelo Poffo against Paul Christie, these are more WWA and or Chicago guys. And of course, being in Illinois, it made all the sense in the world. But yeah, back then there was kind of a handshake agreement, working relationship every once in a while, especially in Chicago. You had these interchangeable names. But this is a spot show. And like you said, Chris, it's a great card for a spot show.
I'm noticing the popular prices in the lower left, $3.50 for a ringside ticket, $2.50 for general admission. Shit, you couldn't buy a page out of a program today for that price.
Try getting a WrestleMania ticket for that and see how far you get.
You might need to add a couple of zeros on to the end.
Minimum. Yeah, but they had a great working relationship. And again, good card for a spot show.
Yeah, and for those that didn't know, the WWA was Bruiser's territory.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call there, Joe. All right, so let's go to this one. Take me through, who am I looking at here? I don't know. You guys can maybe help out the youngin' here.
With all due respect to Joseph Lipinski on the right, this photograph, this yearbook photo, that's our buddy, the late Black Jack Lanza.
Hold on, I'm trying to block it now. there, much better.
Black Jack Lanza. Look at that curly-haired Italian guy, Jack, and it was John Lanzo. This is his high school photograph from De La Salle High School in Minneapolis before he became a cowboy or a blackjack. The interesting thing about that if you read it, it says it's the wrong guy to meet in a dark alley. And even back then, even in high school, Jack Lanza had already established a reputation. So that smiling, good-looking crooner type, looks like he could be in the Rat Pack back in the 1950s. That is one big, tough dude in Black Jack Lanza.
Wow, that's all I've got to say. But if I look at it, squint just a little bit, I can see the future Black Jack Lanza. The smile to me is what sort of gave it away, although early in his career, it was more of a sneer being a heel.
Yes, yes. And again, De La Salle High School, not Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Laredo, Texas.
What year was this, Mick?
I'm going to, late 50s, I would guess, probably in the, maybe 1957, 1958, 59 era, I would guess. But that's got to be pretty close. But there he is, the old Blackjack.
And it's funny that the very first thing that they mention out of all of the things, wrong man to meet an alley, at like 17, 18 years old, wrong man to meet an alley.
Already, yeah.
He's a high school kid. How tough can he be?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the beginning.
Of course, I'm not going to say that now because he can't. Man, what a tough dude. What a tough dude.
Oh, boy.
I can name one of them.
Yeah. This is a great picture, and it was actually supplied to me a while back by the son of one of the gentlemen in there. The man on the left, the white-haired gentleman, is the late Len Montana. He was a former AWA World Tag Team Champion. He played Luca Brasi in the original Godfather film, Lenny Montana. And to his right, the 7th Street Gym on 7th and Hennepin, that is our old pal Eddie Sharkey. And look at that head of hair.
Really?
That's Eddie. That is the
now I can see it now that I'm looking at it, because when I first saw it, it's like I vaguely like recognized the facial figures, but I could not place it. But now that you said it, it makes total sense.
Look at that. Look at that 1970s porn star look from Eddie Sharkey. And
is that where you got your look from? Is that who you copied it from?
Mine was more the 1930s porn star look, but.
The
Eddie Sharkey, I talked about, we saw the other picture of him as a referee, what a brick shit house he was. I mean, Eddie was so put together. At his peak, I don't think Eddie was 5'9". He may have been, if he's standing on a Chicago phone book. But he was absolutely built like a Sherman tank, our buddy Eddie Sharkey and the late Len Montana.
The only thing missing from that photo is a horse's head.
Exactly.
I mean, that looked so mafioso. I mean, holy shit.
It really did. When you mentioned that he played in The Godfather, I didn't even know that. I mean, I've seen The Godfather, but I never would have put those together.
And I'm guessing that was either at the Cafe di Napoli or one of those Italian restaurants in downtown Minneapolis that Eddie Sharkey frequented. But love that picture. And thanks to Eddie Sharkey's son, Tom, for providing that photo.
Very nice.
Great picture. Okay, I believe we've got a another one here.
Oh, geez.
I'm sorry. I'm going to blind you.
I am being told. I did not verify this, but I think it's accurate. That is Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Wow.
In the early stages of his career, and if you look closely, you can see it. But my God, look at that. That kid evolved into one of the greatest workers in the history of the business, the late Terry Gordy. What a shot.
It looks just more like Terry Bam Gordy. It's half the Bam Bam.
Isn't that something?
He's not a free bird. He's just a bird.
He's still in the nest at that point. I don't know how far back that goes, but what a terrific picture.
Yeah. See, and now that you said kind of like you, Joe, I can see it in the eyes and the nose and the mouth.
So I've seen plenty of photos of Bam Bam later on. The way that he has his head in this photo, I'm superimposing, maybe add another 10, 15 years onto it. And he kept that same kind of pose after he got the longer hair and so forth. I can see Bam Bam now that you mention it, big time.
Boy, what a start. And, you know, he was an enhancement guy. You know, he got the crap kicked out of him early on, but I think he more than made up for it in later years.
Well, Mick, that brings up a good point, though. Back in the day, you didn't come straight out of camp. And, I mean, you paid your dues. You Absolutely. Set up the ring. You were an enhancement talent. Then you went to the opening card. Some of the guys nowadays, depending on who it is, I'll say like a Kurt Angle type, who, and not saying it's right or wrong, but, you know, they come right into it and they start main eventing. That didn't happen back in the day. The only one I can think of would have been like a Chris Taylor that came out and
you know,
did the bigger push. But outside of that, yeah, every one of the guys was a jobber when they first started.
Everybody paid their dues. Ric Flair paid his dues.
Against Chris Taylor.
Yes, Bob Remus, Sergeant Slaughter. Greg Gagne started out as a referee in the AWA, as did Doug Summers. So, yeah, it was none of this frying pan into the fire shit like you have today. They paid their dues.
Right.
Best version of Terry Gordy, Freebirds or the tag team with Dr. Death?
Oh, boy.
For me, it's easy. I'm sorry to jump. For me, it's easy. I mean, the Freebirds, for me, they were just iconic. Now, as far as a tag team with Dr. Death, yeah, they're huge. But I think of Terry Gordy and Freebirds instantly.
It just got me thinking.
Freebirds in the States, Gordy and Williams in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And then last one, guys, hypothetically, Brody and Hanson versus Gordy and Dr. Death. Who wins?
Oh,
the fans.
Yes. No, good one, Mick. Perfect.
I was just thinking of that because both those teams were huge in Japan.
Oh, my God. Oh, what a war. What a war. All right, who we got coming up here?
We got number 12 here, guys.
This I put up specifically for a reason. Now, you see what I'm saying, Joe? This is a poster from a card at the Showboat in Las Vegas. Now, typically on a wrestling poster, whoever does the proofreading misspells half the names. In this case, they misspelled one. Mm. One name. And Joe, have you picked it out yet?
Yeah, Jimmy Cagney's long lost relative. Greg Gagne?
Can you imagine?
Oh,
the people to misspell the name on that poster, it's Greg.
I mean, they spell Bockwinkle correctly. They spell Rashke correctly.
Uh-huh. They spell O correctly.
Ringens, yes.
But the co-owner of the league that you are bringing in to wrestle, and you add a Y. Why?
The guy who did the proofreading, I believe, was selling adult publications on the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard shortly after after this poster was printed. Of all people, and man, your eyes just go right to it. It's just like they're drawn to Greg Gagne, Gagne, whatever. But yeah, oh my gosh.
This would have been about had to be December of 84.
Okay, well, I can understand if they're a big TV fan. I mean, Cagney and Gagne.
Cagney and Gagne, right?
Gagne and Lacey.
That crime-fighting twosome, but of all people, don't fuck up Greg's name.
Well, the other thing is I looked at the prices, $12 for ringside.
Wow. And that's something.
Still affordable.
Yep, still affordable.
Affordable. All right, let's go down to 13 here, guys. And I like this one. I got to admit, I really, really like this one. So candid and just three really good smiles. I love Mad Dog in this.
The reason I put that up is because this exemplifies the brotherhood of the AWA. Mad Dog Vachon, our friend Al DeRuscia, and Wally Carbo. And that is at the SNR set. This would have been the SNR's second anniversary special. So this would have been 1990, the first time that I actually met Mad Dog Vachon. And he came in from Omaha. Of course, he had already had his leg amputated by that point. But I'm telling you, when he saw Wally and Al, guys, it was like old home week. There were a lot of hugs, a lot of tears, and just a great night. And look at those three. What a spectacular memory of the AWA.
That is classic. For those that don't know how Mad Dog lost his leg, he was jogging and got hit by a car. And by the time that he was able to get help, his leg was beyond damaged, and that's why they had to amputate. So no more two-legged Mad Dog hopping around the ring with his hoodie over his head, which is just classic. Loved when he did that. That's the, in a nutshell, that's how Mad Dog lost his leg.
And at the end of this show, Baron Von Raschke, I was interviewing the dog, and Baron Von Raschke did a walk-on, and he said to Mad Dog, "We got to hurry up. We're entered in a three-legged race." Only the Baron could get away with that. But just a wonderful shot.
Classic.
I remember being at a show in Omaha. It was a WWF show at the time when they had the In Your Houses. And it was Shawn Michaels versus Kevin Nash before Nash, when he was Diesel, before he went to WCW. Remember, Mad Dog was sitting ringside, and Nash actually took his leg off and got a ton of heat. I was like, oh.
We have a photograph, I think, coming up similar to that, Chris.
Oh, okay.
But Mad Dog, yeah, he didn't care. Here, take the leg and let's do something with it. Why not? It's here, you know? So.
One word description for Mad Dog, a character. Yes, technically it's two words, but he was just so fun.
Oh, he was.
I mean, he loved to have fun. Take away the biting, the scratching, the clawing, the sinister Mad Dog Vachon that I remember growing up, but in real life, he was just fun.
All right, let's go 14 here, guys. And hey, look at this.
Look at
what
that.
What part of Beverly Hills is this?
That would be, I believe, Mendota Heights, which is adjacent to Beverly Hills. You probably didn't know that. Beverly Hills covers kind of a wide area. That's either Egan, but I'm leaning towards Mendota Heights because Bach lived in both suburbs of the Twin Cities. And of course, he's riding in style there. I just love these candid shots. And I'm almost tempted to say that our friend Fumi Saito in Japan took this picture of Nick out at his home, and Nick's wife Darlene was there. But look at this, the eloquence of a champion relaxing at his home, and I love it, love it, love it.
The car just fits Nick
oh
so well. I mean, even the matching jogging suit was still classy. I mean, you know, zipped down a little bit more than most people would, but you know, when you have your physique, you can certainly do that. But yeah, I mean, talk about for that time period, that was class and sophistication. That car, the it looks like a Lincoln Continental.
I believe that is correct. And the man just exuded class.
See, yes. That's what you want your world champion to be, right? I mean, he's right. Got to feel like he's the best of the best, and you have the nicest home and the nicest car, and you just see that you can do things that nobody else can because you're the world champion.
You nailed it, Chris. Spot on.
All right. Let's go to number 15, I believe, here. We're going to go right back to Mad Dog here. Oh. Mad Dog, the king, the crusher.
Crusher. This is at a pay-per-view in Milwaukee. Of course it was in Milwaukee. And the Dog and Crusher were special guests. And Jerry Lawler was a heel announcer at the time. And he came in, and of course, the king is ripping on Crusher, ripping on Milwaukee. And in the course of this little set too, he also took off Mad Dog's leg. And I believe Crusher picked up Mad Dog's prosthesis and hit the king over the head with it, if I recall correctly. But this would have been going back, oh man, I want to say 26, 27 years, give or take. But what a shot. And of course, the Crusher and the Dog, what a response they got in Milwaukee.
And deservedly so. I mean, the man who made Milwaukee famous. It rang true. They've got a statue of the Crusher in Milwaukee. They have an annual Crusher Fest.
Yeah.
Crusher and Milwaukee were synonymous.
And period. nobody could get heat like Lawler. I mean, you know, on the stick when he was
at that time, Lawler was funny, but I feel like Lawler kind of like Heenan. Lawler took the heel announcer. I felt like he took it to a point that he would get physical with it because he was Jerry Lawler. At that point, Heenan had kind of already transitioned into nothing but a broadcaster.
That's right. And before we move on to the next one, Jerry Lawler, all time, one of his greatest lines is when he said to Helen Hart, the mother of Bret the Hitman Hart, he told Helen, "Listen, old lady, why don't you put your false teeth in your mouth in backwards and eat yourself?"
Oh, classic.
Yep.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Oh, some of these guys, I know that people in the business have the creativity nowadays. I just feel so bad that they're stifled the way that they are. Like, everything is so scripted. Like, let people be themselves. Let them see what they can come up with, because you never know.
The only one I think that has, you know, almost that leverage is The Rock, maybe John Cena. But otherwise, you're right, Chris. Everybody's so stifled and so scripted. And this is exactly what you got to say, and you got 3 minutes to say it. And
let them go out there and see what they can. Some of the best wrestling promos have come from freestyling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like the time that Dick Murdoch turned to the crowd in Kansas City and said, "Shut up, you bunch of kayfabers." just out of the blue. But yeah, that creativity is gone. But love the picture.
You know, it would be interesting just for one Raw, one AEW explosion, whatever show, just for one episode, to not have it scripted, to go back to the old school days, give them the bullet points. This is what you need to cover, and see who could actually pull it off. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason that they have gone scripted. There's a lot of guys who really should not have even attempted to do a promo. But there was also a reason that there was an interviewer as part of it.
To guide the talent.
Okay, let's talk about your opponent. Let's talk about the sponsor and the town and everything. And that is gone. I mean, you have some backstage stuff right now, but it's really a, you know, a one question thing. It's not a full interview like the back in the days of Marty O'Neill and Mean Gene Okerlund and hell, yeah, even into Larry Nelson and Mick Karchas of the world doing AWA interviews.
I mean, a whole show where bullet points, call it in the ring. You get to the building, God. You don't see your opponent till you get into the ring. Call it in the ring.
Imagine?
It would be interesting who could actually pull it off. And there's some guys. Yeah.
One show.
Yeah. And I got to believe Heyman has the bullet points and he just goes out and talks. But he's an exception. He is one of those special talents that you give him a microphone and you tell him it's 2 minutes, and then 5 minutes later, you got to tell him, hey, wrap it up.
Absolutely.
But you don't know who can do it until you give them the opportunity.
That's exactly right, and they don't give them the opportunity.
No, I know what you're saying, Chris, but I have to say that's why they had to have them scripted, because not everyone can do a promo. They just can't, not at least not a long extended one like the days are now.
Yeah.
I don't know what the times are, but back in the day, you had 2.5 minute interview blocks. A lot of the promos, especially on Raw, when they come out in the very beginning, those promos are 5, 3 seconds, 10, 15 minutes. You know, they're very long. I don't know how many could actually pull it off, but I know there's a few.
All right, let's go to this one here, guys. I have just a few more. Is he crushing an apple?
That would be Danny Hodge. And Chris and Joe, I've talked many times about Danny Hodge. Unless you grew up in the Danny Hodge era, you don't know how great this guy was. Tremendous amateur wrestler. I believe he was the first wrestler to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Danny Hodge, I believe from Oklahoma. And his hand strength is legendary. And this is legit. He's crushing an apple there with one hand. I have been in his presence where he has taken pliers and pulled pliers apart. And I mean, this guy was absolutely extraordinary. And the reason that I have you put that picture up there is just to set the stage for the follow-up picture. And if you could put that one up, and I will kind of explain to you.
Well, while we wait for that real quick, what impressed me more so with that Danny Hodge crushing the apple, he's like probably 80 years old when he did that.
Exactly. And there's a picture. I'm not laughing there, folks. I'm not smiling. That is actually a grimace that is being pushed out of me by Danny Hodge.
He's squeezing the shit out of you, isn't he?
Well, yeah, it took him a while. But
still full of shit.
But this is in Waterloo. You can kind of tell, Chris, by the background, some of the...
Yeah, I recognized that right away. Like, I didn't recognize... I recognized the background before I recognized Danny Hodge.
Let me tell you about this picture. I wanted a picture with Danny Hodge really badly. I mean, he was one of my heroes. And I said to Danny, go easy on me, please. And Danny chuckled. He said, I'm not going to hurt you or whatever. He is barely squeezing my hand there. And I'm telling you guys, as the picture, and if I remember correctly, the photographer had a tough time getting it focused or something. So the minutes are seeming like hours now. And the grip is tightening. And I think this was at the peak. And you can tell Danny is just loving this. He's loving it. On the other hand, I'm not loving it so much. But just a thrill to get a picture taken with Danny Hodge, one of the all-time great, great wrestlers, period.
The pain that was inflicted on you, Mick, dare I say, was worth it?
Absolutely. And like Wahoo chopping your nipples, making earrings out of them. It was, you know, pretty much the same kind of a deal.
Making memories, guys.
There it goes.
Making memories. And last one we've got here. I will fully admit I was not expecting to see these three together.
If you're a longtime AWA fan, you will know that right before the mass exodus to the WWF back in the day, Dr. D, David Schultz, and Hulk Hogan were engaged in a feud here. Vince basically swooped in and took the main event. Schultz had aligned himself with Mr. Saito as well back then. So this picture of Schultz, Saito, and Hogan effectively is kind of a trifecta of Vern's last three main event stars before things started going south.
You can see Schultz trying to be a little bit taller. Hogan even looked like he tried to be a little bit taller. Massa, sorry, you were not going to get up to their height.
No, but you know, he didn't need to. You know, Massa Saito, I think if you're legitimately saying, okay, of the three of these guys, who don't you want to fuck around with? I think Mr. Saito would have been number one. But, you know, you look at that picture and you think of what Vern had on top back then it was gone.
And it was quick, unfortunately.
Yep. So there you go.
All right. Great. Well, we did it. Mick, I appreciate your pick. That was good. Thank you for that.
Certainly.
And we survived looking at Mick's picks.
We did. We did survive.
They should do a commercial, something like that, along those lines.
Let's cleanse
the, in a minute.
Yeah, let's cleanse the palate, if you will. By I want to promote once again our pinfall level here, guys. And if you guys have not, I'm telling you two things. Pinfall $4.99. Telling you guys, it's going to be so worth it. You get the podcast a day early. You get our monthly live stream, which our next one is going to be Sunday night, March 31st, 7 o'clock Central. We're going to have a watch along, which is like a, you know, just going to be us providing some updated commentary, little behind the scenes information on some video that Joe is going to provide us. You get a personalized letter from me with a magnet and a sticker, plus, and I'm adding it right there, as the added part of the pinfall level, Mick's going to send out a set of 5 4x6 photos of AWA stars. I'm telling you guys, totally worth it. You guys are going to love it. I guarantee that you guys are going to love it. I mean, everybody that's signed up for it so far has absolutely loved it. And then also as well, we've got brand new merchandise, guys. Go to TeePublic, Unleash Plus. You can get a coffee cup, you can get magnets, you can get stickers, you can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, you get phone cases, you can get whatever you want. We've got several different designs all there, and you can support the preeminent podcast talking about the AWA. Did I hit everything?
Smooth as silk.
You did, and I'm just
all pro sports.
I'm scrolling through. You might hear some of that audio, and that's going to be the Best of Classic AWA Wrestling Volume 2 is what our next show will cover. Okay. And I can tell you right now, let's see, the main event.
Tell us what we're going to be seeing.
So in the main event, Crusher and Crusher against Ivan Koloff, and Superstar Billy Graham decides to come in and mix things up a little bit. That's what we're getting, and it looks like it was an arm wrestling match of Crusher and Koloff. And the interesting part, it wasn't on a table. They were doing it on the mat. Vern couldn't even spring for a damn table back then.
Joe, that was at least $1.49 back then. Give the man a break.
Of course, of course. Oh, that's some great stuff on here. We got, Mad Dog and Vern against the High Flyers. I mean, there's some really, Oh, Hanson and Martel from Super Clash.
Ooh.
Preceded by one of my favorite
interviews. Wait. Vern and Mad Dog versus the High Flyers?
Or against East-West Connection, sorry.
Okay, I was like, oh my, okay, yeah, I'm in.
I was wrong. And then one of my favorite AWA interviews. One of my favorite AWA interviews when Stan Hansen goes, I got a fat wife and 9 kids at home, and I got to feed them. Whack to Larry Nelson. So, yeah, some really good stuff coming up on the next watch along.
All right. And you can get in on it by just signing up for our pinfall level, and whiz bang, there it is. So let's give some shout outs here, guys, and then let's bring it home, as the kids would say. You first, Mickey Rooney.
Eric Strong. Good friend Eric Strong out of the Massachusetts area. We got such tremendous feedback from Eric in a message that I got from him. He was kind of in WWF territory back in the day. And so he had like loose information what was happening with the AWA. He said, I depend on you guys every week to fill in all those gaps, and nobody does it better than you. So thank you, Eric Strong. Really appreciate it.
My shout out this week goes to somebody who I'll say is somebody from behind the scenes. Some have called her Mick Karch's personal valet. I'm talking about none other than Jen Fritz. Oh, I know you watch the shows, Jen. Haven't seen you for a while. It's been too long. I'll say hi, and my shout out this week goes to you.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw Jen, we went up to Fergus Falls or something, Mick, a couple of years ago for Below Zero show.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
That's not right up there. We went up there to see Nick and the rest of the crew.
That's correct. Okay. Love Jen Fritz. One of our favorite people.
She's good people. Yeah. And speaking of good people, David Salchow, he's been with us since day one. Wherever we see him, he's always just so joyful, always having a good time. We've seen him in Waterloo. We've seen him at shows. And David, appreciate you signing up as a member of our pinfall level, the Patreon, and always appreciate you, man. So you've been there since day one, and we appreciate it. So there we are, guys. Again, reminder, here's what we've got coming up. Sunday night, March 31st, Easter Sunday, 7 o'clock that night, Central Time. We are going to have the live stream with all of us. So if you're a member of the pinfall level or the body slam, and you have not gotten us your information, email awaunleashedpodcast@gmail.com. Glenn Anderson, I need your stuff so I can get you all settled up. We've got our watch along coming up. That's going to be exclusive for our members as well. A week from today, no show because of Easter. So we're going to take that week off, and then we're going to come back with something after that. I don't even know, but we'll figure it out, right? I mean, that's kind of what we do.
And on behalf of all of us, obviously, happy Easter to everybody. Celebrate it with your family if you're lucky enough, blessed enough to have them around. And Chupik, be very, very careful when you're chewing the head off the hollow chocolate bunny, as you've been known to do over the years. Just be careful. Be cautious.
Hollow bunny or solid?
I can only afford the hollow. I don't make your kind of cash.